I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
How are you?
Oh, well, what to say?
Cut your hair off?
I was supposed to be... Oh, I cut all my hair off, yeah.
Looking great.
Great. If anybody's tempted to cut their hair off, cut your hair off.
Mm.
I really recommend it. It was a really good feeling. Yeah. I realised that I just wasn't brushing it or washing it, and I just had this big... What Matt, who I live with, was calling my clump. But he was harsh. He said it in a complimentary way. He didn't realise that it was an insult. He said, gosh, maybe subconsciously he's been trying to drip feed this idea of cutting my hair. But yeah, he said, oh, I do really like the way you do your hair in that clump. And I thought, that's it. The clump is getting cut off. So it's gone.
Cut the fuck off. It looks great.
Thanks, Tilly. I really love it. And then what else? Oh, I was supposed to be going to Paris tomorrow. So I've ordered myself a beret in the post. And
cute.
I'm going to
cook.
It's a black.
Of course.
Chic. I'm going to wear my turtleneck and cook some croque monsieur's with corn ham, obviously. What about you? How are you? What have you been up to?
I'm doing okay, thanks. What have I been up to?
Oh yeah.
I've been getting up.
Oh, that's really impressive.
I've been showering.
Oh my god, really?
And I've been going outside. Every day I've gone outside.
That is genuinely incredibly impressive.
It is, especially for someone like me who basically already had agoraphobia before this lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably hyperbole, but I certainly have some degree of social phobia.
Mm-hmm.
So it does take a lot for me to get outside. But it's very important for me that I go outside, because otherwise I start getting very, very anxious, especially health stuff. I start panicking, thinking everyone's got the virus and stuff like that. So... Yeah. I need to get out. I do wear my mask, which, to be honest, helps a lot, because it just makes me feel better that I'm wearing one. I get out and about. There's a lady on my road who has a three-legged dog.
Oh.
And she carries him across the road, the main road, so that he can go and play on the grass. And I don't want to sound over the top, but I would... die for him. I can't. He wears this little red jacket.
Oh no.
And it's like it's a jacket for dogs who have four legs, which he doesn't. He has three, and that's great, and he gets around on his three legs perfectly fine. But he has a little leg dangling that's not filled.
That's not got a leg in it.
Which is so cute. He's just adorable.
And is he doing okay? Is he enjoying the grass?
Oh, he looks happy. Looks happy AF, yeah.
That's
he loves
great
life.
News.
Wouldn't you if you had a mum who carried you across the road so you could go to the park?
I've been really jealous of the baby that lives opposite me.
I don't want a fucking baby right now, Helen. It's not the same
thing. Honestly, I was thinking about them. It's this really young, beautiful couple who've just moved in across the... So we're in like a courtyard of flats, but opposite us there's some houses, and they're in one of the houses, so they're a bit nicer and bigger, and they've got a garden with a really nice table outside. And they've just had this baby, maybe like the week before lockdown, and they just, every single time I see them, they are beaming, and the baby's beaming, and they keep having like photo shoots outside in their garden, and I just keep looking across crying, just watching this family, because I just was thinking, it must be so nice if you're already
forcing your boyfriend to have sex with you without a condom.
How did you know?
So my dad wants us to apologise for our Oasis episode, in which we talked about the lawsuit from the song Whatever. English musician Neil Innes sued the band, claiming the song borrowed portions of his song How Sweet to Be an Idiot. And I said, who's that? I don't know who that is. And my dad, having raised me to know things about culture, was horrified. Especially because Neil Innes collaborated with Monty Python.
Oh, that's a big deal.
And looking at his face now, I do know who he is. And I'm very sorry for disgracing his memory, Dad. And
I
hope you can forgive me.
I'm so pleased, because when you said that, I thought you were going to say that there was no lawsuit and that we'd made it all up. And that
we were getting sued by Noel Gallagher. I was going to send you to have a fight with Liam Gallagher.
I would win.
Yeah, you would actually. He's, yeah, you would.
Do you think?
Just throw paint over his parka. He'd be overwhelmed. He'd have to stop the fight.
You've thought about this. That's so good.
Yeah, always looking for people's weak points.
If we're doing apologies, can we also do a shout out to Sarah Cribb, the sister of Dave Cribb, who has done our music.
Oh, great. I've seen her on Dave's Instagram.
She's so fabulous. She broke her arm last week dancing to Billy Piper. And she's really badly, like she's had to have surgery yesterday,
oh my God.
I think. And she sent me a message saying that she's listening to us in hospital and we're keeping her entertained. So hello, Sarah Cribb.
Yeah. Get well soon, Sarah.
Get well soon.
Sending you lots of love.
Okay, this is Bitchin'. Every week we talk about a different person. We diverge, and this week, who are we talking about, Tilly Steele?
We've got to do it properly.
Why?
Well, actually, why? You're right. This week we're talking about That's Hot.
That's Hot.
Paris Hilton.
Yay. Woo. Woo.
Here we go.
Shall I read a wiki?
Let's do it.
Paris Whitney Hilton, born February 17th, 1981, which makes her 39, is an American media personality, businesswoman, socialite, model, singer, actress, fashion designer, and DJ.
Philosopher.
What did I say? Did I say
that? No.
Oh.
I'm just making a joke. Sometimes I do that on the podcast, Helen.
I just assume it's always me having mispronounced fashion designer, philosopher. She is the great-granddaughter of Conrad Hilton, the founder of Hilton Hotels. Very well air-conditioned. Born in New York City and raised there, and in Beverly Hills, California, she began her modelling career as a teenager when she signed with New York-based modelling developing agency Trump Model Management.
Oh.
So.
I don't even know where to begin with Paris, because it's... She encapsulates so much of that kind of early noughties celebrity culture. She is kind of the pinnacle of famous for being famous, that concept.
She sort of created that in a way, didn't she? She's like known as being the original kind of influencer, quote unquote. It wasn't called that at the time, but
yeah,
like it's acknowledged that she sort of created that as a job almost in the world.
Yeah.
She's quoted saying, it makes me feel so happy and proud that I could help inspire others, and express that she started a whole new genre of celebrity that no one had ever seen before.
Don't think you can argue with that, really. Where should we begin? Or should we call it a day?
Should we begin with her childhood?
Should we begin with your childhood, Helen?
Well, absolutely not.
Just unbelievably wealthy, born into a life of unimaginable privilege, really. But also, what came up for me reading about her, and there were a lot of people who wanted to take advantage of Paris, mm-hmm. I think. And so I found myself having real sympathy for her, which I really didn't expect to have. But it is that kind of thing of you expect those children born into incredibly privileged circumstances to somehow be better protected than poorer kids. And yeah. Actually, she wasn't. I watched this documentary called The American Meme.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually only watched... Have you seen it?
No, but I was reading about it.
It's really good.
An executive producer on it, wasn't she? And it's...
Mm.
Yeah, go on.
I mean, I didn't watch all of it because I found some of the other people in it some of the worst people that I've ever seen or heard of in my entire life. But Paris's bits in it are genuinely so... quite moving, actually. Like, she talks about so many things, but... To start with my point about her being young and taken advantage of, so there's a famous photo shoot of her, I think when she's like 16 or 17, done by David LaChapelle, who's a famous American photographer, kind of well known for his like very lurid photos of celebrities that sometimes kind of almost critique American society, but they're like using incredibly rich, famous people and putting them in situations that, you know, they might not normally be seen in. And he did this photo shoot with Paris, and her parents wouldn't let her go, but she lied and said she was going to, like, a cousin's birthday party or something. And she said, like, oh, I thought that, like, me and David were just playing around, and, like, when I took those photos with him... I mean, maybe she wasn't 16 because it...
She was 19 when she signed... her modelling contract with Trump. Do you know if it was before or after
I think
that?
It might be before that.
So she probably would have been a teenager either way.
Yeah, regardless, she's a kid. And, like, she basically went... When she met David the first time, he was like, you're going to be my muse, like Andy Warhol had with Edie Sedgwick. She said that she went along and she thought that they were just, like, playing around and, like, having fun. And there's a couple of photographs where she's topless and, like, one of the makeup artists pulled down her top, and then they were like pouring water over her and whatever. And then there's another one that they took in her grandma's house where she's got like this netted top on, and you can see her breasts again. And she didn't really understand that it was like, she says she didn't ever think anyone would ever see the photographs, that she was just doing it. They were doing it for fun, like just to have like a party and do something stupid. And then she got a call from David being like, guess what? I've got great news. Vanity Fair are really interested in the photographs.
Oh my gosh.
And I think from there it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And again, similarly with the sex tape, she also talks about that in the documentary. And so I mean, that's just awful to hear about. So awful.
Yeah, so there was a leaked sex tape, wasn't there?
Her boyfriend at the time, who... I can't remember what he... I think he's a poker player. I don't know if he does anything else. He was, like, 15 years older than her, 15, 20 years older than her. And she was 23, I think. Released this sex tape called One Night in Paris, which was then kind of responsible for catapulting her to massive fame.
Yeah.
And she was kind of the original person to do that. But she didn't give... permission for the tape to be released, obviously. And in the documentary she talks about it, and it's so heartbreaking because she is basically saying that she thought her life was over and that no one would ever see her as a person ever again. And she says she didn't leave her house for 4 months. She couldn't, like, she said that it's like that she was basically that she was suicidal, having had her trust really broken. And I just think... And then she goes on later in the documentary to say that her fans are her only real friends, which is, like, so sad. But, yeah. Like, she basically says that, like, sometimes she lets them stay in her house and, like, she goes and, like, parties with them. And, like, she says that they're the only people in her life that, like, aren't using her and don't want anything from her other than for her to be herself, which I can understand, actually, in a way. But...
Because as well, you know, after the sex tape, that was when The Simple Life came out. And part of the reason so many people watched it and had heard of her was because, like you say, that sex tape catapulted her. And I know that she's since talked about The Simple Life and how that was a character that she was playing of this slightly dumb, blonde caricature. And that she's really struggled since to be understood on a deeper level. And it sounds like this documentary that you watched, what I was reading about, it seems to be the first time that people actually saw her as a human being who'd gone through some bad stuff, rather than just because she does present herself as being completely in control. She's super wealthy, she's got so many brands to her name, and seems like she has quite a lot of power within that. But actually, if you look at the sort of conception of that Paris Hilton icon, yeah, you're right, it's all come out of like trauma and exploitation, really. But off the back, I don't know if it's directly off the back of that documentary that you watched, but there's actually a film that's due to be released called This Is Paris, which is similarly quite confessional, I think. And that was supposed to be going to like film festivals this spring, but obviously coronavirus means it's not been. But I think it's still due to be released on YouTube on May the 18th. So we can all watch that and learn.
I hope
more.
It is, because I do actually find her a lot more interesting than I thought I was going to.
Yeah,
I was
totally
quite surprised actually by how kind of a similar thing that Britney has of kind of, I don't think she's as vulnerable as Britney, but there is definitely a vulnerability to her, and
but it's
she's very funny.
You mentioned Britney because it was around, they are the same era, because there was a poll, I think it was by AOL or something, but back when AOL was a thing, in like 2006, that had the like first world celebrity role model was Britney Spears, and the second world celebrity role model polled was Paris Hilton. And I think there is a real similarity of it was the era that there. I've been watching Shrill recently, which is I really recommend it. It's on iPlayer. It's a sitcom that's sort of about this young woman in I think it's America, it might be Canada, who's fat, and she's like trying to come to terms with the fact that she's fat, and she's also and what that kind of means within culture and society. And it's just so fantastic, but it's also really funny. But she goes to this like women's empowerment conference that's all talking about business women and women in business, and she says it's really complicated, because it's not like this is really bad, like, and this is a slightly Paris Hilton brandy thing of, you can't really say it's a bad thing that she's using the thing that makes her vulnerable to make her powerful. I think you can't blame her for that. But equally, if somebody is shouting about the fact they're the boss and the fact they're a woman, they're a businesswoman and they're a woman in power, often means that actually they don't have as much power as they're telling you that they do. Because if they really did have power in the way that a man does, they wouldn't need a conference for it and balloons and pink bunting. And I think I've got in a bit of a hole in Paris Hilton's YouTube, which I really recommend. I didn't realize she was still so active as well. That's the other thing. I thought she slightly had, I don't know.
Well, she has become kind of quite irrelevant in a way to the culture now.
Totally, but her YouTube channel is still very active, and she.
Oh, and she's got millions of fans.
Yeah. But a lot of them are like conversations with the boss, and it's all presenting her as being this really powerful, in control of her own, you know, brand, businesswoman. And actually there is just something, and it's patronising to say it, but there is just something really vulnerable about it. And someone says, like, what's one of the questions is like, what's your working day? And she says she gets up at 6 and goes to bed at 4 in the morning, because she's so, that's her busy working day, because she's a model and she's a DJ and she's a businesswoman and she's an author and she's, and it's like, but what, you know, what actually, what is she?
She is a very successful DJ now, like,
yeah,
she earns like so much money to go and like
to go to
DJ
Ibiza.
In Ibiza or whatever. Yeah
totally. I kind of want to go to Ibiza to
I would love to go and see Paris Hilton DJ.
Yeah, me too.
Should we do that when this is over?
100%. She throws lots of glitter over audience members and stuff, she was saying, at sort of like 7 in the morning. Sounds amazing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have we kind of, we've kind of lost our claws in the lockdown, haven't we, really? We're not as coming down as hard on the millionaires as we usually do. Obviously, having money is bad. I don't need to say that, do I?
Having money is bad. And also, I do think it's not her fault as an individual, but the culture that's kind of been bred out of Paris Hilton as the business is really toxic. And
There's a photo in that David LaChapelle shoot where she's wearing a bra and panties that say "Eat the Rich" on them. And I really wanted to punch my computer to death when I saw that.
God's sake. But also, like, and again, maybe this is lockdown doing things to my communist brain, but I have become incredibly sympathetic towards, like, I think maybe also it's watching Succession. Highly, I've been thinking, like, do you know any, like, super, super mega rich people who aren't either awful or really messed up? And actually, you know, how do you break that cycle? Is it really the fault of the individual? And how do you break the cycle of?
Because I think actually, it's like to have so much in a world where so many people have so little does require a form of cognitive dissonance that you 100%. Have to believe that you deserve it. And actually, no one deserves to have everything. Mm-hmm. Like no one deserves that just by virtue of being born. So it's interesting in terms of like how interesting we find rich people. Is that because the human part of us is like, oh, they have so many resources. I wonder what it is about them that they have so much. Maybe if I find out what it is, maybe then I can change myself and I can be a rich person too.
100%. It is the aspirational escapism that you kind of wonder what... You kind of want to live that life, don't you? Even though actually the reality of it is definitely awful. And again, sorry that I'm obsessed with Succession at the moment, but I keep going, oh my God, I want their houses and I want their cars and I want their really nice things. Like, there is just something innate in us that's fascinated by... wants to slightly worship each other and how they've, you know, and how we've... Some people have got so much. Is it something inherent in them and how can we get it? Definitely.
But also, well, Paris is really cute.
I think that has everything to do with, like, the fact that she was a really beautiful, charismatic, lovely woman is the reason that she is. She just seems like she's loads of fun as well. Like, people talk about her out in New York being the it girl of the noughties. Like,
oh yeah, she was clearly caning it. Like, she was clearly doing every drug under the sun.
But also, like, there's something in her, I think, that's rebellious, because she was for about a year when she was 15, she attended professional children's school, and at 16 she spent 1 year at the Provo Canyon School for emotionally troubled teens. So I think there was something rebellious.
Well, apparently her upbringing was very strict. That's how she describes it, that she wasn't allowed to really do anything that she wanted to do.
So she's making up for it. Can we talk about her pets?
Yeah, so she has a separate house for her pets next to her house where all her pets live, that's like air conditioned.
A 300 square foot home with air conditioning, heating and designer furniture built for her pets at an estimated cost of $325,000.
I mean, it's just nuts. Paris Hilton is so rich that when she got robbed by the Bling Ring...
Several times, she didn't
notice for like 2 months. She didn't notice that she'd been robbed.
Honestly.
I know where everything is in my room. If I lost a mug, I'd be like, there's been a break-in.
Yeah, 100%. She didn't notice.
She didn't notice.
But also, they stole, like, so much stuff. They stole $2 million worth of jewellery, clothing, cash and other items from her house. $2 million worth of stuff they stole from her house. And she didn't notice, honestly.
Probably because she was so out of her mind at the time as well.
How many cars do you think she has?
Oh, like 30. It's actually,
probably, no, it's six. Well,
six, but they're like worth millions of dollars, right?
A pink Bentley convertible, another Bentley convertible, a Rolls Royce Ghost, a Ferrari, a Lexus LFA, and a GMC Yukon Hybrid.
Do you know what any of those mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big car gal with my Fiat Panda.
I always forget you can drive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it. I do love it, you know. I love lifting up the bonnet and sorting stuff out inside the bonnet. I have this fault with my car, right, where if I put both windows down at the same time, the engine and the electricity all just goes off, even if I'm, like, on the motorway. So if anyone's ever in my car and they put them both down at the same time, disaster. So I've worked out, it's like a fuse in the front. So I have, like, a whole pack of fuses, and I just change it. And sometimes I have to change it, like, several times per journey. So I drove to my brother's house in January, and I had to change it seven times. It's, like, a 40-minute drive. I had to pull over and change the fuse seven times on the way.
And that's the kind of, like, everyday obstacle that rich people don't have to deal with. And I do think there is a lot to be said for everyday obstacles. In terms of developing your resilience as a human being. If you never have any obstacles, it's no wonder that, like, when Paris Hilton got arrested, I think for drunk driving.
Yeah, it was.
And I think she got sent to jail for, I don't know, I can't remember, but, like, probably for, like, a day or something. And she, like, screamed in the courtroom, like, you can't do this! And was, like, grabbing onto her mum and, like, crying her heart out. Because if you've never had to withstand anything, how can you have the confidence that you can?
And you've always got away with everything. Like, she did drink driving and she got, like, fined. She did drink driving again and she got banned from driving. She then drove under the influence without a license and then got sent to court. She did it again, I think. And then, so, like, it wasn't that she just made a mistake once. It's that she consistently made the same mistake because it never had any consequences. And I think you're right, that's her whole life, isn't it? Is without consequence. So you can just buy yourself out of things. And I'm like that with certain things I've never had to go through. I can't imagine the level of resilience that people who have been through that must have built up. And she's like that, but with everything, like making a cup of tea, she must struggle.
She's never had to squeeze a bag in her life. She probably has a dedicated bag squeezer. She's probably got a dog that does that for her. Yeah. She's probably got a trained dog that's the bag squeezer.
That's what she's got them all for.
I mean, they do say about fines that fines are basically just, it just means that rich people can do those crimes.
Yeah, well, they've done it even with coronavirus at the moment. They've done a sort of provisional survey into the people who are breaking social distancing, and they find that the people who are breaking it time and time again, even if they're getting fined. So it's people
who... Yeah, because it's like a 40 quid fine.
Yeah.
That's nothing to people who've got money.
Yeah, and if you're the kind of person who's happy to break it once, then you're happy to break it again. Sorry, I'm relating everything to coronavirus.
It's hard not to, though, isn't it?
She's trademarked the expressions, "that's hot," and "love it." So I might get
loves
sued.
It.
Love that.
Loves it. That's how she says it. Loves it.
Her voice That's is so hot. Relaxing. It's so like, oh my God. It's like opening a door. I really like it. I really enjoyed watching her videos in her big house with her pets. She talked like talking really slowly and calmly about what she had for breakfast and how much she loves cooking.
I feel like we would have a good time with Paris Hilton. I feel like if we met her at a party, she would really like us and she would invite us to her house, probably.
I'm worried that I'd go the way of Nikki, though, where she'd like me at first and then it would all turn sour. So Nikki, who she made The Simple Life with. Did you watch The Simple Life?
Nope.
Did you not?
Nope. It's not my kind of thing. I can't stand cringe stuff.
Oh,
can't stand
my
cringing
God.
At things.
It was like my bread and butter at the end of a school day. Come home, pop it on. eat a crumpet, laugh at the weird rich people. So this is what I think does work about the programme. It'd be interesting watching it back now. But really, the premise of it is horrendous, which is that these incredibly rich, blonde, white women go and live in like normal people's homes, basically, and have to do normal people things.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine it being made now, yeah. I would hope.
But the idea is that the lens is of them to the normal people going, how bonkers are like these farmers and these people having to do all these horrendous things. But actually, the lens is completely the other way around, because the majority of people watching it are not people in positions like Paris and Nikki. And so the freaks that you're actually watching are them, and you're watching them be unable to function in the real world. And that's what is so fascinating about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure they must have known that about it. They're not as stupid as they portray themselves in the show. I mean, I've only seen like small clips of it, but like, I mean, a lot of it is fictional. Like,
yeah.
Especially when they're like laying together at home and they're like both saying like loves it at the same time and stuff like that. Like, it's very, a lot of it is clearly scripted, and then
yeah.
Part of it is obviously their genuine reactions to things that they've never encountered before. But so many of us now live such sheltered lives where we're so removed from ever having to do anything for ourselves in terms of...
Milking a cow.
We're so far removed from the means of production, basically. We're so far yeah. away from how things get made that we don't really get some things. Things just appear. They appear via Jeff Bezos, and we don't really think about...
It's why I really enjoyed. There was a series recently that was called something like The Factory Something, or
Factory Something.
I'll find it and let people know through osmosis. It was like going to the means of production. Like,
yeah, you always say, we'll link it on the Twitter.
And then I forget.
And then you don't. You just post something about Elon Musk's baby.
Elon Musk and Thingy Majingy have had a baby.
Oh, I love the memes so much. The memes are so fucking good.
It's very nice. Oh, she'll be
poor,
fine.
That poor child. Oh my God.
The next Paris Hilton, maybe.
Mm.
Like a gothic kind of, I don't know, space engineer.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously going to split up.
Oh, Tilly, no.
Mate. Elon's a piece of shit with women.
No, Tilly, no. He's had a baby.
Yes, he is. Helen, he's a piece of shit with women.
But they've had a baby, so they're bound together now for life.
God's sake.
That's it now. He's committed. Oh, and they're going to be like the people opposite me, where they just have photo shoots out on their little steps. And
they're not.
All day long, and then they went for a shop the other day, and they like strapped the little baby in the car. And
yeah, that isn't Elon Musk and Grimes, Helen. You don't live opposite Elon Musk and Grimes, okay?
Every week you crush my world.
Why can't you just like things? Why can't you just support the government? They're doing their best.
Wait, no, hello.
That's you. That's what you sound like.
Oh, come off it. I won't have that to my name. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Putting your sunglasses on. Getting ready to leave.
I don't want to look at you.
No, of course, we're very critical of the government here at Bitchin Pod.
The government are the worst, man. Can I just say what a terrible job they've done, for the record? I mean, in general, with everything, but particularly...
Yeah,
with
I feel like I live in a parallel universe. I can't get my head around any of it. I can't get my head around the fact that it's happened, that the death toll is so high. Yeah. I then doubly can't get my head around what this country has become. I can't get my head around the fact that I can't trust the news anymore. I can't trust yeah. papers. I can't trust any of them to report accurately what's happening.
It's a diabolical situation.
Yeah, like, Piers Morgan is providing better opposition than anyone right now. I don't know. Like, is there a gas leak in my house? Is there a gas leak in my house?
It's a terrifying situation. My flatmate's completely obsessed with graphs. It's really, really dull. But one
with
of
graphs?
Her, yeah, she loves a graph. Listen, it was fine before when I could leave the house and look at other things, but it's been pretty exhausting, to be honest. it's been pretty knackering, all the graphs that have been laid out for me over the last 8 weeks. But she did show me a graph that was good, that was about Europe, the kind of the trust in media outlets in Europe, and the absolute lowest of the low is us. Like, there is just, there is nobody to go to. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Loves it.
Loves it.
Well, I think that's that on that. I think we've done a great job. I'm going to go and stare at my phone for 8 hours. I hope that it finally brings me peace. It hasn't so far.
Oh,
but I live in hope.
But your three-legged dog is doing really well, so that's great.
Oh, I fucking love that dog.
That's really good news.
You've been listening to Bitchin', a podcast by Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music is by Dave Cribb, and our artwork was designed by Luke W. Robson.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.